verse 16, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. And I'd also like to look to Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 58 verse 3. And Matthew 6 and verse 16. And once you have it, go to Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 3. And we'll read these verses here in Isaiah, and then we'll come back to Matthew chapter 6. It says here in verse 3, it says, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou sayest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all of your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity. And if you draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shalt thou thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday." Now if you would go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. It says here, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Lord, I love you and I thank you so much just for the opportunity to be here in church tonight. I thank you for the word of God. I think of that verse, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." I thank you for an unchanging word. I thank you for your Son who died for us on Calvary. I pray that you would be with me tonight. I pray that you'd give me wisdom in the words that I say, that I'd say exactly what you'd have for me to say. I pray, Lord, that you'd bind Satan this evening, hinder him from working. Lord, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This portion of Scripture speaks about something we don't do probably nearly as much as we should. It talks about fasting. It says, verse 16, it says, "Moreover, when ye fast." You know, thinking on the Sermon on the Mount, this mountaintop living, this instruction that the Lord gives us, you know, there's three things in this chapter that I mentioned earlier that God just assumes that we're going to have as a part of our life. The first one is giving. You see there in verse 3, it says, "But when thou doest alms," he said, when you give. Then in verse 5, he said, "And when thou prayest." And verse 16, he says, "Moreover, when ye fast." You know, God has this assumption as he's giving this Sermon on the Mount that fasting will be a part of our life. Now, you know exactly what fasting is. Fasting is doing without food for a period of time. And that doesn't the Bible necessarily say how much time. I think that varies by case, but it talks about doing without that food for a period of time. And God has this assumption that we're going to do it. You know, I think sometimes we assume that part of it is something that's given as a command, and yet you find fasting throughout the entirety of the Bible, both Old Testament and both New Testament, but there's only one specific time when it was commanded, and that was on the Day of Atonement. They were to afflict themselves, they were to fast on that Day of Atonement, that once a year in the Old Testament, but fasting, though you find it in many different places, for instance, Esther asked for a fast there as king had made the decree through Haman and all the story there. David fasted, Daniel fasted, many different people fasted throughout the New Old Testament. You find fasting in the New Testament. John the Baptist's disciples fasted. As a matter of fact, they came to the Lord and asked him why his disciples didn't fast. And he said this phrase in Matthew 9, 14 through 15, Christ told him this: "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto him, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. The Lord said this. He said, look, John's disciples come to him and say, hey, look, the Pharisees fast. We fast. Why don't your disciples fast? And Christ said, look, as long as I'm here, they won't. But there's coming a day when they will. And we saw that in the book of Acts. We find it in the book of Acts when at various times, Acts chapter 13, I think there's another place in Acts chapter 14, and various places where the disciples fasted. God kind of, if you will, assumed, and in this portion of Scripture you see that, God just said, when ye fast. We don't see fasting much today. I think it's not out of a lack of desire, though I don't know that anybody desires to fast. Anybody just love going without food, all right? But I think it's because maybe it's just been de-emphasized. You know, I don't hear much of it. I'm sure it doesn't happen as much, but fasting is something that God assumes that we will do. I mean, if we're honest, how many of you would say tonight, hey, I have fasted. I've fasted for something, one reason or another. I have at various times fasted. But we don't do it that much. And God doesn't command us how often we should do it. But He says that we should. And He assumes that we will. I think there's a great deal. I think we miss out on a great deal of things when we don't fast. For instance, if you remember the story, and I'm going to come to the verses here in a minute, but the Lord in Matthew, when the man brought his son to him that was a lunatic, you're familiar with the story. The man brought him to the disciples first. He was a lunatic. He threw himself in the fire and did all the various things. And the disciples went to cast the demons out of him and couldn't. And so the man brought his son to Christ, and Christ immediately cast him out. And the Lord said, and they asked the Lord, why couldn't we cast it out of him? And the first thing the Lord did was rebuke him for their lack of faith. But then he made this statement. He said, but this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and what? Fasting. You know, there's some things that just require that in our life. And so God says, He gives this assumption that we will fast, that there's times in our life when the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and says, this is something you need to pray and fast over. And so I just want to look at some of the things about this in this portion of Scripture about fasting between Isaiah and the book of Matthew, a little bit different type of message, I know, but look at that. And the first thing I want to look at is the motive for fasting, the motive for fasting. You see that here in Matthew chapter 16, or Matthew 6, it says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Notice he said that about the other two things as well, giving. When they made a big deal about their giving, that man would see it, he said, you got your reward, that's as far as it's going. He said that about prayer, that's as far as it's going. Now he's saying it about fasting. He said, if you're fasting that others may see it, he says, you have your reward. And then in verse 17 he says this, but thou when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He says this in Isaiah, those first few verses there in Isaiah chapter 3, he says this, Isaiah 58 verse 3, he said, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Therefore we have afflicted our soul, now takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, the Lord says this, ye find pleasure in exacting all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. He said this, you are fasting for the wrong reason. And I think the primary motive for fasting is to draw closer to the Lord. That's what he's getting at here. The primary motive for fasting is to draw closer to the Lord. I believe in our life there's certain physical things that have a spiritual impact. I think the physical thing should be a result of an inward motive, but I think there's sometimes things that we do that just physically that do begin to have a spiritual impact on us, and I think one of those is fasting. See, fasting does something to us. It weakens the flesh, does it not? Anybody go without food for a period of time, it weakens your flesh. I think when the flesh is weak, the spirit has a better opportunity to work. You know, that's one of the things I thoroughly enjoy about teenagers getting to go to camp and things of that nature. You know why? You get there and you get away from all the things of the world. They get away from all those influences. And then they get worn out playing a bunch of games. They just get worn out. And then when they're worn out, they go sit down and they hear some preaching. And their heart, their flesh is weak. They're away from the things of the world and their hearts are open. And God can do a special work. I think fasting has that impact on our life when the flesh becomes weak because we're desiring to seek after God and we're spending that time specifically alone with God, God can do a work in our heart. Look, he said, if you're fasting to be seen of men, and he specifically says, going around with a sad countenance. You know, when I do without food, that's exactly how I feel, sad, all right? And I feel pretty sad. You know, my body gets weak, my head starts hurting, and you know, and those things. And it's easy to go around, it would be easy to walk around with a different countenance. And he said, but you don't fast for the purpose of being seen and being recognized, which is what the Pharisees were doing. Matter of fact, he said, if you do that, you've missed it. That's all you're getting. He said, if you're doing it to be seen of men, you're missing it. He said, the purpose of a fast is always to draw nigh to the Lord. I think that really ought to be the purpose of Christian living, am I right? Draw nigh to me and I draw nigh to him and he will draw what? Nigh to you. The motive is to draw close to the Lord. It's not a weight loss program, all right? It's not a weight loss program. It's not a program, if you will, to draw attention to oneself. It is strictly about getting alone with the Lord. Not only do I want you to see the motive of it, but I want to emphasize this, how we fast. And go to Isaiah, if you would, because I think Isaiah gives instructions on some things that ought to take place here in our life. It is this. He says this in verse 5. Let me go up to verse 4 again. It says, behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. I think the first part of fasting, and I just put it this way in my notes, is to fast quietly. To fast quietly. I think a Christian ought to fast. When we fast, we ought to, obviously there's certain people close to us. I have a semi-regular way in which I fast. You know, there's different things you find in the Bible about fasting. You know, Jesus fasted 40 days. Moses fasted 40 days. There were different places where they fasted, you know, one day out of the week. Matter of fact, the Pharisees fasted 2 days a week. They would fast on Monday and Thursday, and they'd make a big deal out of it, which is why the Lord rebuked them. They would fast Monday and Thursday each day of the week, and they would go out there and put on their sackcloth and ashes. Everybody take notice of me as I fast, what a spiritual person I am. And they got this all they got out of it. But there's different periods at times, but regardless of when it's done, it's supposed to be done quietly and privately between you and God. Between you and God. And, you know, Christians, it ought to be a part of our life where we do this. And I'm going to come to different times, I think, in a minute, where things that should make us fast. But first of all, it ought to be done quietly. Secondly, it ought to be done as a process of examination. Look here at Isaiah 58, verse 6. He says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. I think a part of fasting is, I don't think there's value in just missing food. Don't get me wrong. I think the purpose of fasting is that you skip a meal so that you can spend that time alone with the Lord. I think if you go without food but you don't meet extra with the Lord, you're going to miss out on the benefits of it. Because I don't think there's any great spiritual benefit in just missing food, but there is in spending that time with God. And he says this, he says this, there ought to be a time of examination. I think part of what fasting is about, it is about giving up on that food and spending that time with the Lord and doing an extra examination of one's own heart to see where they are at with the Lord. You know, just saying, Lord, search me. The psalmist says, search me and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Fasting is about saying, I'm gonna cut out food today. I'm gonna get away for a little bit in those times when I'd typically be spending doing that. And I'm just gonna get alone with the Lord. I'm gonna open up the Word of God and I'm gonna let Him do a searching of my heart. To do a searching of my heart when my flesh is weak and say, God, I just want you to try me. I want you to search my heart. I want you to examine me. He says there that to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, Lord, remove them from my life. Give me victory over sin. Hey, I think there is to fast with others in mind. Look at verse 7. He says this. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? I think part of what makes a fast effective is not only a searching of the heart and a getting alone with the Lord, but a seeking to do something for somebody else. You know, you kind of see the process as you see this. You know what God's doing is the process of a fast is it takes all of the attention off of the individual. It takes us from to a place where we're weakening the flesh and spending time alone with the Lord, where we're spending an extra time asking God to examine our heart, and you're seeking, is there a way in which I can be a blessing to somebody else? He said, to deal thy food to the hungry, to go out and be a blessing to others and say, Lord, is there a way that I can be used to do this? I think of this, that fasting and prayer. Verse 9, it says this, thou then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. It's about prayer. I said this already, but fasting without prayer is missing the point. He said, you know, there's times in our life where God says, he says, he expects that we will fast. The Lord assumes that we will fast. And he just says, when ye fast, he said this, don't do it for the world to notice. Don't do it for anybody else to notice. He said, otherwise you're missing out on it. He said, but there's times in a Christian life when they ought to just say, I'm going to do without for a day. I'm going to take that time when I would be eating. I'm going to get alone with the Lord. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to search my own heart. I'm going to do something for somebody else. And I'm going to ask, I'm going to bring those things, those reasons that maybe I'm fasting before the Lord. There ought to be a process of it. It's not just getting up to one day and skipping food and not spending any time with the Lord. What you did have there is a terrible weight loss program, all right? A horrible diet, an instrument of torture, all right? But when we say, you know what, today, for whatever reason, I'm going to give some of the reasons that I think Scripture teaches that we should fast, but there's comes a time in our life when there ought to be that response of the Christian to say, you know what, I'm going to do without today. I'm going to die to self today. I'm going to get alone with the Lord. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to ask Him to search my heart. I'm going to do something for somebody else, and I'm going to fast and pray, and I'm going to be spending the time that I would be feeding my flesh, I'm going to spend that time with the Lord. And God says this, He says, you know, that ought to be a part of the Christian life. I don't say that it has to be every week, every month, every year, but there ought to be certain things that bring the Christian to a place of saying, I want to focus in on the Lord. And I think it's one of the few outward things when it's out of a proper motivation that can have a great spiritual impact on our life. The motivation is to get closer to the Lord. And as we follow that outward thing that does an inward work, we get closer to the Lord. And that's what fasting is. And I want to give you here the next few things. And so get ready to turn in your Bible is the reasons to fast. I think of this. We should fast and pray when wisdom is needed. Go to Exodus 34:28, would you? Exodus 34 and verse 28, and then I'll read a couple verses out of the book of Acts. But Exodus 34 and verse 28, it says this, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. This was Moses. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Moses got alone and he began to fast and pray. And the reason he was fasting and praying is because God had something special he was going to give to him. And he got self completely out of the way and focused in on the Lord. And we see this demonstrated again in Acts chapter 14, verses 23 through 24. It says this, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Bethsaida, they came to Pamphylia. They fasted and prayed when they were choosing the elders of the church. Acts chapter 13, verses 23, it says this, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. There's another time when they fasted and prayed and God spoke. Moses fasted and prayed and God spoke. The early church fasted and prayed and they were revealed elders. They fasted and they prayed and God said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. And I think this fasting is important when we specifically need the wisdom of God on something. You know, there's times in our life when you just say, I've got a decision to be make and I need to know that it's the Lord. When I moved here, I did that. I said, Lord, I need to know whether if I'm going to take my family from Indiana to Columbus, Georgia, I need to know that it's what you want. I need to know if you want me to pastor Grace Baptist Church. And so I set aside time and I said, you know, here it is. I'm cutting out food and I'm just going to spend some time in the Word of God, searching my heart, looking for God to speak to my heart so that I can know it's God. You know, you ever come to that point in your life when you just need an extra amount of wisdom? You know, Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God. You know, there's times in your life when we just need God's direction in our life. Hey, maybe it's in raising children. You ever come to a moment where you say, okay, Lord, I am at my wit's end at what to do. I need wisdom. Decision in work. I need to know what God would have for me. I need wisdom. There's times in our life where we just need that. And there's something about when we say, I'm going to cut aside self, Lord, I need your wisdom. I'm going to cut out that food. I'm going to cut out feeding my flesh, if you will. I'm going to get alone with God. I'm going to let him search my heart and make sure I'm right with him. I'm going to call upon God. God, give me wisdom. That it opens up our hearts and our lives where God can speak and give us wisdom in a special way. There ought to be times when we fast. The reason for our fasting is that we need to get close to God so God can speak. We need to just get close to God. I think there's times in our life when it feels like God's shouting at us. You ever have that moment in the midst of a revival meeting, man, just God's just getting you time after time? Hey, maybe it's, your devotions, you're picking up the Word of God and it's getting to you every time. And then there's times when you just feel like God's been quiet. And I think there's a time to say, okay, Lord, you've been quiet too long. I need something. And there's a getting alone with God. There's a cutting those things out and just seeking the face of God and say, God, I need your working in my life. I think we should fast and pray when spiritual healing is needed. Let me read to these verses in Judges 20. Judges 19 and through 20, through the end of Judges, is one of those books, stories that, man, there's been times I've picked that book up, those stories up, and I just said, Lord, why'd you even put this portion of Scripture here? And it says this in Judges 20, verses 26 through 27. It says this: Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. The people of Israel were at a place where there was just a real brokenness. And the real brokenness was there because, man, there had just been a moment in Israel of extreme wickedness. A man comes up, and I'm not going to get into the whole story, but a man gets ready to go on a journey, and he has a wife or a concubine, that story tells us, and she plays the whore to him, is what Scripture says, and she runs off and leaves him, and then ends up at her father's house, and that man goes to get his concubine, he leaves home, and he goes over there and goes to get her, and he stays there a few days. Finally, he gets up and he leaves. And as he leaves, he goes through a city in the tribe of Benjamin. Gibeah, I believe, is the name of it. And as he stops there for the night, he goes in. The man says, much like the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the angels are there. And they say, and Lot calls those angels in off the streets. That man comes to that Levite and says, get off the streets. Bring your family to stay with me. And they come to stay with him that night. And then the men of Gibeah come banging on the door. And said, send that new fella out that we may know him. And to be honest, it wasn't so they could carry on a conversation. And as they heard that wickedness, they said no. And then you read that story and something even more wicked in my mind takes place. Those two men inside the home say, this isn't right, but you can have, the man said, you can have this man's concubine and you can have my daughter. And he set the concubine outside and they abused her till the morning time and she was dead. And then the Bible says that man, that Levite, picked up his concubine, went home and cut her into 12 pieces and sent her to the 12 different places in Israel. And you can imagine what happened. The people of Israel got mad. And so all they rose up and they were going to go wipe out the tribe of Benjamin. And they showed up at Benjamin and they prayed and said, God, should we go forth? God said yes. And the tribe of Judah went forth first to fight against the people of Benjamin. And the people of Benjamin were protecting that city for some reason. They wouldn't even give up the men within the city. And those men went forward and the tribe of Benjamin, or Judah, I think it was about 20-some thousand people died. The next day another tribe went forward, another 18,000 people died. And at that point, the people break down and go and pray and fast. there was such a brokenness that they just said, we need to go get along with the Lord. And there's been times I've read through that story at the end of Judges, and I just think, why, Lord? But I think the story is there so that we can see how sin can destroy and how broken lives can be. And I can tell you this, when there's a need for spiritual healing in someone's life, there's something special about just saying, God, I need you. I just got to spend time with you. I need you. When lives are broken apart, when you're going through those moments, maybe when your life, you just feel like everything is broken and everything is pieces, there's something about saying, okay, Lord, I'm setting aside self. I'm skipping it. I just need to get alone with you because, Lord, I need you to put things back in order. There are some things that only God can do. And there's times in our life when lives are broken and falling apart and homes are a wreck. And there's something about saying, okay, Lord, I don't need the sandwich today at lunch. I need you to meet with me. I don't need today's food. I need to spend that time at breakfast, at dinner, at lunch, just spending time with you because I need you to do something. My life's broken apart. It's falling apart. And they fasted because they needed a healing in their land. And we must fast sometimes when we just need to get a hold of God in an extra way that brings an extra healing to the life of a Christian. There's sometimes when that healing only comes when we go to those extremes to just get with God. When the flesh breaks down and the spirit is open and God moves in and works. God never gives us this command to fast this amount of times because I think the fasting comes at those moments when we say, I just need God. Things are coming apart and I need God. Hey, when there was a need for a spiritual healing in those lives, I think this fast when spiritual victory is needed, not only when we're broken, but when victory is needed. 1 Samuel, we read the verses a few Wednesday nights ago, chapter 7. It says this in verse 6. It says, and they gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. That story is a spiritual revival taking place. And they get alone and they get away from God. And they said, we've sinned against God. We're fasting and praying. Isaiah 58 verse 6 says this. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? The New Testament talks about besetting sin. Sin that we struggle with over and over and over again with. I think sometimes you fast because you just need victory over sin in your life. Hey, there's that besetting sin that hits us and you say, where we just say, okay, God, I'm struggling. I want to see victory. And I don't know about you, but my Bible says that God came that we might have life and that we might have it more what? Abundantly. God didn't intend for me to struggle. And He came to give victory. And I think there's something that happens when a Christian dies to self. Galatians says this in 5 verse 24, just after the fruits of the Spirit, and says this, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. And I know he's not talking about a literal crucifixion. He's talking about a die to self. Paul said this, I die daily, but I don't know much more of a way to die off and defeat the needs of the flesh than cut it off of food. And when someone says, Lord, I'm struggling with this sin in my life, I need victory time after time, and they say, God, I'm going to get alone with you, I'm going to deny my flesh, I'm going to get in the Word of God, I'm going to ask for a searching of my heart, I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to run to the Word of God, and I'm going to ask for victory in my life, I think there's something happens that God says, I'm going to meet that need. He said, I'm going to give you victory. And Galatians says, die to self. And he gives that as illustration there in Isaiah. He said, there's times in our life when we ought to get alone with God and just say, God, give me victory in my life. I think things come at those times. I think this, we ought to fast and pray. I'm going to go quickly here. When we face great obstacles in our life, great obstacles. Ezra 8:21-23 says this, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Avea, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. There's Ezra, and he leads some people out of Babylon. And they said, God is with us. He's going to go with us. And they get out there, and they meet up with an enemy who's bigger than they are. And he said, we were too ashamed to go back to Babylon and say, can you send somebody to protect us? Because they had just told him about how strong their God was. And so what did they do? They said, I'm not going to go back to the world. I'm going to go straight to the Lord. Here's my obstacle, and I'm not going to ask the world to fix it for me. I'm going to get alone with God. I'm going to spend some time in prayer and fasting, and I'm going to ask God to give me the victory over it. You know, I think God sometimes put obstacles in our life just to get us to that point where we come to it. We just say, I just need him. I'm not going to. A lot of times the first thing we do is we run back to Babylon. We run back to the world and say, how do I get through this? And yet, at the same time, we're proclaiming how great God is. And then we try to look for the world's means to give us victory. And Ezra said, no way, no way, no way. He said, I'm not running back. I'm too ashamed to do that. I tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to proclaim a fast, and we're going to cut it out, and we're all going to hit our knees together, and we're going to ask God to do something. And he says, God was entreated of them. There's times when we face obstacles in our life, and there is something special that happens when the Christian gets down on their knees and cuts out the physical food that they need and get alone in the spiritual food of the Word of God and gets on their knees asking God to work, and God does a mighty work. I think we pray when we face great, fast and pray when we face great obstacles, fast and pray when facing great conflict. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 3. Then was Jesus led up with the Spirit into a wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. You know the story. Christ is being tempted by Satan himself. And as heading into that, God fasted. You know, I think there's times in our life when we know we're going to face the battle. We know it's coming. We know the trial's coming. It's right around the corner and you can see it. That's time to get alone with God. That's time to get alone with God. It's not time for us to get up and say, I'm going to bowl my way through and I'm going to get through it. It's time to say, all right, I need to get with God. The battle's coming. It's around the corner. I know it's there. I'm going to fast and pray, and I'm going to get alone with God. I'm going to make sure that I'm right with him. I'm going to search my heart. I'm going to focus on him, and I'm going to get on my knees and ask God to give me the victory. When we face great obstacles, it's time to fast and pray in our life. I think it is this overall, I think, more than anything. It's just to draw close to the Lord, going back to that motive. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I think this overall, fasting is just simply that, going back to God. You know, there's times when whatever the reason is that God reminds us how much we need him. And when those times come up, regardless of the reason, it's time to sometimes to fast, always to pray, sometimes to fast. Times when we just say, okay, Lord, here it is. I'm cutting out the flesh and I'm getting in the Word of God and I'm getting alone with you and I'm bringing those things before you. And I'm going to ask you to do something special in my life. You know, I'd encourage you with this respect. That verse in Matthew again, it's in Matthew. And let me read it to you. It says this. And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not forth, but by prayer and fasting. You know, there's sometimes God doesn't let the battle go until we've gotten alone with him in an extra way. It's kind of like old Jacob. He wouldn't let go of God until he had the blessing. He wouldn't let go until he had the blessing. I think there's times in our life when God says, look, I want to do a mighty work in your life, but I want to know that I have all of you. Why don't you just cut it out for a while? maybe a day, maybe a week. I don't know. Lost it. Longest I've ever gotten was a week. But there's times in our life when you just say, I'm just going to get alone with the Lord. I'm going to cut the food out. I'm going to separate myself. And I'm going to find a place, a way, and I'm going to get on my knees before the Lord. I'm going to get in the Word of God, and I'm going to ask God to do something special in my life. You say, preacher, how often should I do that? I don't know. I don't think there's an often to it. I think it's when you face those things in your life. When you face obstacles and battles and sin and struggle. That those moments when we just say, okay, Lord, and God lays in our heart, you just need to be with me. You need to get alone with me. You need to spend time with me. He says in that scripture, and the other two we do often, don't we? When ye give, we give, don't we? When you pray, we try to pray. Maybe not as much as we should, but we pray. When ye fast is probably something some maybe of us have never have done. And I wonder this when I read that portion of scripture, I read it. What am I missing because I didn't? What am I missing because I didn't? This kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. Some battles are won when the flesh is dead and we're walking with Him and we're on our knees before Him, running to Him. And just say, God, I need you today. I'm not needing my own strength, and I'm proving that by what I'm removing from my life. What I need is you.